Senator, the roll call be dispensed with. Sergeant Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Reverend Richard Carlson from the Roseville Lutheran Church. He is retired. Is that right?
Yes.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Okay. Greetings to you, and thank you for the privilege of coming here this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this hall of power this day, you have called elected citizens of this state from all walks of life, backgrounds, and experiences to come together to address issues that affect the life of those they represent. May there permeate this day and throughout this session a deep sense of respect and desire to understand the viewpoints and dreams of others, and from this stance inspire courage to work together to weave the dream of the many into projects for the common good of all people. We give thanks for the freedom to gather in a structure that allows for exchange of ideas and a process to make decisions and channels that put these decisions into action. We humbly realize that there are many lenses that we look through that create different views and convictions of how to respond to the challenges facing us. Amidst these differences, create in us a spirit of heart and mind that allows space to listen, to respond with respectful conviction, without focus on ourselves and personal gain, but of what is right, healthy, and just for the benefit of all. We are thankful for the gift of this day and for purposeful and meaningful work. We pray that in our relationships with one another, we might come to know each other in a deeper way, sharing our struggles, hopes, and joys, and then from these relationships to work with zeal for others. Trusting in your mercy and grace, O God, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thanks.
See you. Nice message. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olsen G, Olsen M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Uyghur.
Quorum is present. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 915, a bill for an act relating to insurance requiring school districts to obtain employee health coverage to the public employees insurance program. There has been appointed on as such committee on the part of the House Hoche, Anzel, Peterson, Carlson, and Davids. Senate file 915 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Next order of business is reports of committees.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of committees be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. Without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is introduction and first reading of Senate bills. They are printed on today's agenda. There are three changes on page 6. Senate file 2704 will be sent to the Commerce Committee. And on page 7, Senate file 2716 to the Finance Committee. And on page 7, Senate File 2717 to the Judiciary Committee. Without objection, first reading and introduction of Senate bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of five authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Senator Koch, on Senate File 7, Senator Koch, do you have a motion to make, Senator Koch?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move that Senate File number 755 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on Ag and Vets.
Okay, this is your bill, and
this is my bill, and I've spoken to both chairs.
Okay, on the Koch motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Scheid, did you have a motion?
Mr. President, I do. I move that Senate File 2565 be withdrawn from the Committee on Taxes and re-referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. It will ultimately go back to taxes. The committee chairs are aware of it. It has to do with adding some members to the local government aid study group.
Okay, on the Scheid motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. There's one resolution today, Resolution 147, Senator Ingebrigtsen's. Without objection, that resolution will be referred to the Rules Committee. We're up on Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, we're going to recess now, and until shortly after the House of Representatives processes the bill they're working on. They're working on the General Assistance Medical Care Building. And shortly after they pass it, I'd like to reconvene at the call of the chair and process that bill. Depending on,
we just give it
Senator Senjum, depending on the level of changes that are made in the House, there would be a motion either to send it to conference committee or to just concur in the House amendments. And it would be, depending on the level of changes that are made. So,
Senator Pogemiller, what do you think if we do the one bill on the calendar that Senator Bach's bill?
Is the Transportation Committee finished? Okay, so we can do the bill on the calendar then.
Yeah, I think we should. Senator Bach, can you get to your chair? The next order of business is the calendar for the day. There's one bill on the calendar that was debated a couple days ago. Any discussion? Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File number 2352, a bill for an act relating to taxation, accelerating the income tax charitable deduction for relief of Haitian earthquake victims.
Secretary will take the roll. Final passage. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Now the next order of business is the consent calendar for the day. There's one bill on the consent calendar. Senator Rest. Okay.
Mr. President, Senate File 2309 allows the cities of New Hope and East Grand Forks the same probationary period for its police officers as the rest of the cities in Minnesota.
Any questions on the bill? Secretary will give the bill on the consent calendar its third reading.
Senate file number 2309, a bill for an act relating to local government, lengthening probationary period for newly hired peace officers in certain statutory cities.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Be it 59 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, then I would move a recess to the call of the chair and members. That would be very shortly after the House of Representatives completes its work on the GAMC bill.
Senator, we're on announcements. So Senator Coring.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, today is Emergency Medical Services Day on the Hill. They're actually down in the Rotunda area from 11:30 till 3:30, and they asked me to announce that they're there, and they'd like to have members come down there and let you know what they're working on. So, hope to see you down there.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We are rescheduling the Early Childhood Caucus lunch. We apologize, members. It did have to be canceled last time. Just as a reminder, this lunch meeting scheduled for next Tuesday from 11:30 to 12:30 will be for when the funders, the foundations, come and present their business plan. So we hope that many of you can join us.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind members that you received in your mail from the Legislative Audit Commission an invitation to send to us evaluation suggestions for program evaluations for the current session. You can either mail it to Mr. Nobles or you can fax it to him. Please use this form or a letter, but we invite you to do that as soon as possible.
Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee is scheduled at 12:30. I would like to ask members to be there at 10 of, so that's 15 minutes. Please try to be on time. We have some bills, and it won't take the whole time.
Further announcements, Senator Pogermiller renews his motion to recess to the Senator, excuse me, before that, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President and Senator Pogermiller, I've had a request from a member. Might it be possible that it might be like 15 minutes after the House has finished debate? It's just a matter of getting over here, Mr. Majority Leader.
Yeah, that sounds, that's all right. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, for members of the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division, we'll be starting in promptly 10 minutes. So if you need to bring your lunch, that's fine. We have a lot of work to do today.
Senator, on the motion to recess of the call of the chair, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands in recess.
President. Mr. President, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call.
Dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Messages from the House.
Mr. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 1481, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, appropriating money for a sewer extension in the city of Reamer, authorizing the sale and issuance of state bonds. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Solberg, Carlson, and Smith. Senate file 1481 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House. And, Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 2168, a bill for an act relating to health care, establishing mental health urgent care and consultation services, modifying the General Assistance Medical Care Program, etc. Senate file number 2168 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewis, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Berglund.
I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2168 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Okay, Senator Berglund, tell the Senate what the changes were made since it left here.
Before I do that, Mr. President, would it be possible for me to impose a call of the Senate?
No, that's all right, isn't it?
We have a pretty light house in here.
Okay. Senate's under call. Senator Berglund.
I move that further proceedings of the call be suspended and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Berglund, on the changes to the bill after it left the Senate.
Mr. President and members, this is the GAMC bill, and it's similar in most respects to the bill that left the Senate. The financing mechanisms are the same. There may be a slight change in the amount of the county block grant reduction. It's $19.25 million, and it is split on a 60-40 basis. 60% of the cut goes to the Children and Family Services Block Grant, 40% to the Mental Health Block Grant. The rest of the financing portions of the bill, the House chose to leave money in the GAMC account so that at the end of fiscal year 13, there would be a $2.3 million surplus. And we had taken savings to the general fund bottom line in our bill of $1.7 million. There are a few other amendments. One of them is a Matt Dean amendment that has to do with having the Department of Human Services contract directly with counties for Minnesota Care clients to be in a medical home program with the counties managing that care rather than the health plans. Without speaking to the merits of the amendment, I would just say that this amendment isn't paid for. but my inclination is to try to see if it gets paid for in the omnibus bill, and if it can be paid for there, then that would be fine. It wouldn't be coming out of the GMC account anyway. It would be a general fund obligation. And then there is a Thiessen amendment that has no cost that would have the Commissioner of Human Services making sure that when the counties are determining eligibility for the Temporary General Assistance Medical Care Program, if they have a veteran, that the veteran service officer would be informed about the services that can be provided through these service officers. And then there is language in here for the Commissioner of Human Services and the Commissioner on Healthcare Access and the House Health Services Policy Committee to study accountable care organizations. The language that was in the Senate bill that would have required people to be served who are in this temporary GMC program was changed by the House, and I think that's an issue that we'll need to work on in the future as well. But it is not a major portion of the bill, and so I would urge members to concur in these amendments. And I'll be ready for any questions.
Discussion on Senate File number 2168. Senator Roebling.
Will Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield. Senator Roebling.
Senator Berglund, in the very end, and I know that you're taking money for some block grants to counties and using it for this, but what money is coming out of the general fund to fund this, and how much will it be?
Senator Berglund.
$168 million. Some of that money is money that is currently in the general fund to serve the GMC program, and it will be unspent, so it'll be transferred into this new account. And some of it is money that otherwise in the budget the governor would have had to transfer into Minnesota Care to keep Minnesota Care solvent under the statutes. The rest of the $283 million comes from a variety of sources, including funding that GMC earns, some of it federal money, some of it drug rebate money, some of it recoveries from third-party payments, and those monies would go into the new account as well.
Further discussion, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Berglund yield for a question?
She'll yield, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Berglund, could you tell me why the governor's idea here won't work? Simple as that. Simple question.
Governor's plan work. Senator
Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ingebrigtsen, the governor's plan is to auto-enroll people who are on GMC as of April 1st. So what happens in your hospital, in your local community, when somebody who would be eligible for GMC shows up on April 2nd? The answer to that question is your hospital will have to serve them in the emergency room, and they will not get paid. And that will happen on April 3rd, April 4th, all the way to June 30th. And possibly beyond. So this bill gives hospitals and other providers a guarantee that everybody that shows up, they will get paid something for them. They won't get paid what they used to get paid under the old program, unless they're a pharmacy. We're keeping pharmaceuticals whole in the bill. But they will be able to plan for the revenue needs that they will have to serve these people that would be in the GMC temporary program, that otherwise would be without a program.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question, Mr. President. And Senator Berglund, so I haven't looked at it that terribly closely, but this is there's a time limit on here, or a sunset, if you will. Is that correct? And what happens after that?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ingebrigtsen, this program will continue to exist for the rest of the biennium, and then we will have to think about if we want further restructuring of the program in the future, or if we want some of the rate cuts to come up to be less than they are now. I would hope in the future that could happen, but I don't know for sure.
Further discussion, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm still trying to understand this. So if this program is going to cost about $167 million out of the general fund, does that mean that our budget deficit, instead of being $1.2 billion, would be $1.37 billion, the shortfall that we have to deal with for this biennium?
No. Mr. President and Senator Roebling, if that was your question, I'm glad you asked it over again, because the answer to that question is no. The money we're spending in here, if we don't continue a GMC program, it's money that's forecasted to have to go into Minnesota Care. The law requires Minnesota Care to be kept solvent. So we're just, instead of putting these people in Minnesota Care and having a lot of hospitals not get paid for them, we're taking that money and we're having it contribute to keeping a temporary GMC program funded. It's not enough money to fund it, but we have other sources of money in the bill that do fund it. And so there is no impact on the general fund. In fact, in 2013, there's a savings of $239,000. I had hoped to have a little bit of savings for the general fund in the bill, but didn't happen that way in the House. So we'll have to keep working on those savings as a part of the general omnibus bill.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the senator yield for one more
question? She will yield, yes.
My question, Senator Berglund, not being part of the committee, is and I'm always curious what other states are doing for this population, this type of population. Can you give me an idea, are we the only one that does this, or is there other states that participate as we do here in Minnesota?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Ingebrigtsen, there are about 18 other states that have programs. I think the one that's most closely like Minnesota is the one they have in Washington State, which incidentally they moved into managed care last year, and they were able to expand that program in terms of the number of people it serves. There are some other states that have direct to hospital appropriations, but there are about 18 other states that serve this population in one way or another through their state budgets.
Further discussion, Senator Koch.
Thank you, Mr. President. And will Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. And I just had heard you answer to Senator Roebling that this has no effect on the general fund budget, but in your opening remarks you mentioned an amendment that went on in the House that was not paid for, and indeed that would have to come out of some other type of funding, and I would assume that's general fund money. And if that's so, do you have any estimates on the cost on that, and is that general fund or no?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, Senator Koch, we don't have a fiscal note on the amendment. We did call over to the department to verify it would have a administrative cost, but they don't know how much it would cost. It would have to be tracked in the omnibus bill because it would be coming out of the general fund. And my inclination is, if we can't pay for it, then we don't do it. But that decision can be made when we put our general fund budget together.
Senator Koch.
Well, thank you, Senator Metz. And then I think people should just be aware of that that's what we're voting on. We're expanding the deficit with this bill, or we're making obligations that we can't necessarily keep. This isn't
the appropriate or fiscally responsible way to do budgeting. We're doing a large segment. We're spending a large amount of money without looking at the overall landscape of the deficit that we're facing. And I think that's should be very concerning to members.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. President, Senator Cook, we're not talking about a lot of money here that they put on the bill that they didn't pay for. You know, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's administrative duties that have nothing to do with the GAMC program. So I believe that this can easily be handled in the general fund budget. And if we can't pay for it, then my attitude is we won't do it. But we'll look and see if we can pay for it there. But the real main purpose of this bill is to fund a temporary GAMC program so your hospital doesn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars of uncompensated care coming in their door that they can't pay for, and hundreds of thousands of dollars of other programs within their hospital to your broader community that they have to end to try to keep their books in the black. That's what this bill is about, and that's what your vote should be about. And I would urge you to vote yes on the bill and the concurrence.
Senator Vandeveer, Fischbach, and Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I think that Senator Koch's question and Senator Berglund's answer is a perfect example of why we need to vote no on this bill. We have not had the opportunity, once again, we have not had the opportunity to really look at this bill, to really understand what's going on with it, to get the fiscal note. This is health care, and I said it before on this floor, health care is very confusing, and I think that we need to be able to understand what's going on. We've been presented with several amendments that the House put on. We haven't had the opportunity to really vet them, to really understand, to do the kind of fiscal notes and understand the implications. And I would urge a no vote on this bill and the motion to concur so that we can really understand and properly deal with this kind of issue in the state Senate.
Senator Roebling.
Senator Berglund, would you yield again?
You will yield, Senator Roebling.
Senator Berglund, did we remove the statutory requirement then in the bill that the general fund money be used to keep Minnesota Care solvent? Did we take that out, or are we just knowing that we won't need it in this biennium, but it's still in there and we'll have to have it again in the next biennium? Is it actually removed the requirement that general fund money keep that Minnesota Care fund solvent if the premiums or the provider tax coming into it is, if it's not enough to keep it whole, and we are going to substitute with general fund dollars, and you're saying we're not going to do that now. So is the language that requires that taken out of state law with this bill?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Roebling, the requirement is only for this biennium. The requirement is only as long as Minnesota Care has a statutory obligation to transfer money into the general fund. And that ends at the end of this biennium. So the requirement to maintain solvency in the Minnesota Care Fund also would end. So there's no reason to repeal it. And so just to complete that thought, this bill will keep Minnesota Care solvent for the rest of this biennium and quite a ways into the next biennium.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am still a little confused. So it will be solvent, but it won't be getting the general fund dollars.
Right.
So it's only getting the provider tax dollars. But will it run out sooner because we're not providing it with the general fund dollars? And then we would have that problem in the next biennium that either we give it the general fund dollars or we increase the provider tax. What are our options?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Roebling, it's a little bit unclear what will happen in the next biennium, but there is no requirement for the general fund to supplement Minnesota Care in the next biennium. And it's a little bit unclear because, in part, we don't know what's going to happen with the economy. There's been an increased utilization of Minnesota Care because of the economy and people losing their health insurance. And we don't know for sure how fast that's going to turn around. So predicting the next biennium for Minnesota Care is a little hard to do, but I can tell you this bill makes it a lot better than what the governor's proposal would have done. Minnesota Care is in a much better financial shape.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have some concerns about what was just sent over from the House and a few concerns about what was just said. And one was the reply, Senator Berglund, to Senator Ingebrigtsen's comment about how do other states serve this kind of population. I do believe, and that this is the discrepancy that has been going on all along, is that we have different facts, different figures, but I do believe that we are at least the only one in the nation that has three safety nets. And, of course, you have GAMC, the Minnesota Care, and then the AMA. And it is a very plush safety net for these people, and I do think these people need to be taken care of. We need to address this issue. But I also believe that the governor's proposal is worth working on and continuing that discussion. Now, of course, there's this February 28th deadline that keeps looming that everybody says is a big deal. Well, that is when the letters are sent out, members. So it's not, of course, April 1st is the auto enrollment, but we don't have to have things done quite this week. I mean, we can continue on with this discussion. The real question is, after the 16th month, if this thing does pass after 16 months, are we still going to have GAMC? We cannot afford such a rich, plush safety net. We have to do some true reform. And I know there's two hospitals in the state that are going to get hit and hit hard, and that's HCMC and Regents. And perhaps we can do some other things. But we haven't really had a great talk about the other options available. And let's talk about, I do like one of the amendments that was passed, the super medical homes or the community clinics, because that is true reform that we need to start implementing in the state. Is trying to switch that thinking, that mentality by this population to go to the emergency room for their medical care. So I believe that this is an ongoing discussion that we can continue and how to serve this population and also balance our budget, which is the real white elephant, big white elephant in this room, without putting us up in a deficit again.
Further discussion? Third, Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and Senator Rosen, we are not the only state that has several health care public programs. And in fact, five of the states that have actually got programs to serve a similar population get Medicaid reimbursement from the federal government for those populations. And that's why, you know, the health care reform bill that's been discussed at the federal level that would allow us to enroll these folks in Medicaid early was an important feature of the bill for Minnesota. But to say we're the only state that has this program, that's just absolutely not true.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Berglund yield?
She will yield.
Senator Berglund, first of all, thank you. You are taking on many questions here, and we appreciate that. Senator Berglund, I probably have a couple of them, but the first one deals with counties. And my understanding, at least, is that the counties have some obligation, some financial obligation to this program. Is that as I understood the at least the previous bill. Is that still the case?
Yes, it is. The counties are contributing $19.25 million over the next 16-month period, and it's split between two block grants. 60% is out of the Children's Services block grant and 40% out of the mental health block grant. this amount of money is the amount of money the county's agreed, even without jail costs, for this population that would not have service, many of whom would end up in jail because of lack of mental health drugs. They agreed on the social services side alone they would have this much in costs if the GAMC program is not restored.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. And I understood, Senator Berglund, in your initial comments, you mentioned something about a county management plan. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but my question is, if they are the right words, so each county then will have the obligation of putting together a management plan that manages GAMC, and I suspect that's got some cost to it. And Senator Berglund, all I'm getting to is, as we go forward, I don't think there's any question, Mr. President and members, that as we look at settling this budget this year, and of course the governor's already had an initial proposal on this, aids to local governments may not be what they used to be. And so my concern, and I'm trying to reflect that in my question, is what do the counties think about that obligation now, given even the more recent information coming out of the governor's office? And I think there's moving concurrence on here that city and county aides are going to be affected. So they're going to have less money to work with. And so is that going to affect their ability to manage this program? That's my question, Senator Berglund.
In regard to the Matt Dean amendment, it is a proposal that the commissioner is supposed to develop to implement by January 1st of 2012. So it doesn't have any immediate cost to the counties. I believe it would have some implementation costs to the department. And I spoke to that earlier, that would either have to get covered or we, in my opinion, wouldn't be able to move ahead with this program. In regard to the proposal for county LGA reductions, the counties have not come back to me to complain about what's in this bill. They understand, and we've gone over with them in several different meetings, the costs they would have just on the social services side if there are large numbers of GAMC clients that don't have a GAMC program to be in. And they've agreed that this $19 million is the right number. They also asked us to take it out of an appropriation they otherwise would receive rather than asking them to make a financial contribution to the program in some other way.
Thank you, Senator Berglund. Mr. President, Senator Berglund, would you continue with me just a little bit on another question?
Certainly.
And thank you for that. Senator Berglund, you know, we work in this building and we hear stuff. And one of the things that I've heard certainly more than once is the whole issue of primary care physicians and reimbursement. And I don't know how this works with the medical home component now newly put into this bill, but Senator Berglund, my question is, and my understanding is, you know, under this bill, physician reimbursements are really much even lower than they were before. And so, again, some of the messages I hear, at least, that rumble around here are, is it possible or even likely that physician reimbursements are going to be so low, not unlike perhaps what we've gone through with dentists, that there are going to be a number of primary care physicians that aren't even going to want to see these patients? I mean, that's the word I get, and I don't know how accurate it is, and I just wonder if you have any thoughts on that.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, Senator Senjum, the reimbursement rates are reduced in this bill in order to have a program that costs less than it did before. We've taken some people out of the program. We've taken some reimbursement out of the program. But the providers that I've talked to are going to be glad to get something because these are very poor, very sick people and they're not going to go away. So they're still going to be showing up and getting paid something to take care of them is better than not getting anything to take care of them.
Mr. President, Senator Berglund, would you just go with me one more time? Let's just say, for instance, there's a private practice general physician, primary care physician, in an office on University Avenue. And a GAMC client walks into that office and wants care. Does that physician have to offer that care, or does he or she have the option of denying it?
Senator,
he does not have to serve that patient as long as he's meeting a 20% threshold for medical assistance and Minnesota Care clients already.
Mr. President, Senator Berglund, thank you so much. You're very gracious in your answers. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to remind the body that one of the paramount things in this compromise solution is that the integrity of the Healthcare Access Fund has been maintained. And for those of you who have mail affiliates in your districts, Senator Rosen, Senator Sparks, Senator Erickson Ropes, Senator Senjum, myself, that's a really important component of this legislation. I urge a positive vote.
Further discussions? Seeing none, Senator Berglund moves that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2168 and the bill be replaced on passage, repassage as amended. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to remind members that, again, the work that has been done on this has been amazing. I'm not real crazy about the fashion, though. I mean, we've only had a few minutes to see the amendments, to see how much this thing is going to cost. And the House, frankly, put us in a very tough position because now we have to find, well, we don't even know how much it is, at least $150 million someplace else to pay for this program. And with all due respect, Senator Berglund, I think you've explained that and said, no, that's not going to happen because that's where the money is and a shift. But the point is, with the governor's recs, he has balanced his budget by using this money and also had a solution to this population's care. And so I am just very troubled that we don't have the opportunity to look at this better, see exactly what happened, the ramifications, how much it's going to cost, and how we're going to fill that gap.
Senator Berglund renews her motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 268, a bill for an act related to health care, establishing mental health urgent care and consultation services, modifying the General Assistance Medical Care Program, requiring report, appropriating money, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Senate's under call. We got to retake take the vote. Senators should be voting. We're under call. How many got gone? I think I think all the rest are excused. Senator, Senator Pogermiller, Secretary, will close the roll. There being 47 ayes, 16 nays, the bill is passed. It's title agreed to.
Mr. President, any other work at the desk?
That completes the work at the desk, Senator Pogermiller.
Announcements?
Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, members, good work this week. And as you know, the plan is to hopefully take up the bonding bill on the floor on Monday. So I move that the Senate adjourn to...
Before that, excuse me... excuses, my fault, Senator Foley, Higgins, Stumpf, Alday, Dahl, Gerlach, Hand from 12 to 12:30, Lynch from 12:30 to 12:35, Murphy from 12 to 12:35, G. Olson from 2 o'clock to the end, Senator Ortman from 2 o'clock to 2:05, Senator Pogermiller, Senator Brentner Solon.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Energy Utilities, Technology, and Communications Committee will start promptly at 3 o'clock, and we will be hearing the Kelsey Smith bill. I'm sure you will want to be there to vote for it. Thank you.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Higher Education Committee who have not already met with me, would you please come to my office at 3 o'clock, if at all possible? Thanks.
Further announcement, Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adjourn till Monday, February 22nd, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn till Monday, 11 a.m., all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.